From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, it's time to let the Bible speak, and this is Alan Kearns with you to take you through today's program. This week we are considering from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, the great theme of reconciliation with God. The way I'm putting it is that this reconciliation is personal, it is perfect, and it is permanent. As we study it, we'll see something about our past, our present, and our future. So stay with us as in a few minutes we return to Colossians 1, 21 and 22 for the subject of reconciliation. First, however, we turn to the Word of God in the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 2, as we have our daily devotional Bible reading. The subject is God's witnesses. The Lord told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." No one likes to be the bearer of bad news. I well remember the time when a motor mechanic, stroking his beard in agitation, announced to me that the car that I had bought at a bargain price and of which I was so proud had a dud engine. The prophet Jonah was sent to preach judgment against the city of Nineveh. The ancient city of Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. It was a vast city of great wealth. Its walls were 100 feet high and so wide that they could carry 3 chariots riding abreast. The population of Nineveh may have run into millions, for we are told in the book of Jonah that it contained no less than 120,000 infants. Sadly, the city of Nineveh was notorious for its wickedness. It was noted for its lack of the fear of God and its cruel and immoral practices. It was no easy task for Jonah to go to mighty Nineveh and cry against it. No doubt the thought of martyrdom must have entered his mind when God first spoke to him about going to the city. No one would willingly choose martyrdom. Archbishop Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in the days of Henry VIII and later Mary Tudor, known to history as Bloody Mary, was so terrified at the prospect of being burned at the stake that he at first recanted and denied the very truths that he loved so dearly. It's not easy for us to be faithful to our unsaved friends and to tell them that if they're not saved, they'll be lost in eternal hell. But that is what God requires of us. Obviously, there's a call for tact and kindness. But just as Jonah had to be true to God and tell the Ninevites of coming judgment, so you and I have a duty to be true to God when speaking to our unsaved friends. And only as we show them their need can we point them to the one who is able to meet that need. The awful doctrine of God's punishment of sin and sinners is the black backdrop against which he sets the glittering gem and jewel of the gospel. May the Lord make our faithful witness fruitful in bringing the lost to Christ. And our thought for the day, from John Trapp, the great Bible commentator, "Truth must be spoken, however it be taken."
Glory of Jesus and His love.
In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon, and if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning. Turn to our studies in Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at verses 21 and 22 on the subject of reconciliation with God. It's a great subject, a glorious truth. And I want us to start again today by emphasizing the point that Paul is making as he tells them about the past enmity giving place to a totally new situation, but now they are reconciled to God. So let's look, understand what the apostle is teaching here, and let's enter into the enjoyment of our new standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's telling the Colossian believers here is that once you were cut off from God by your sin, but now he has reconciled you to himself by the death of his own incarnate Son. And having reconciled you, he purposes to set you forth before all his creatures in the glory of sinless perfection. And in token of that, he now firmly grounds you in the faith of the gospel, and he keeps you from being moved away from it. Now that's a huge statement, but that's the statement of our text this morning. So I want us to turn to these verses. The subject is simply put, it's not a simple subject, but it's simply put. It's briefly put, though it's not a brief subject either. I want to talk to you this morning about reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. Personal, perfect, and permanent. And as Paul deals with this subject, he sets forth three great truths that will highlight the need for reconciliation, the nature of reconciliation, and the purpose, goal, or result of reconciliation. So we start at the beginning. Dealing with the need for reconciliation, he speaks of our past enmity with God. Notice how he puts it in verse 21. You were sometime. The word simply means once or formerly. You were formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What he's saying is, you were estranged from God and made foreign to God. But of course, the other side of that coin is equally true. As the result of your sin, God stood estranged from you and made foreign to you. As he says to the Ephesians, you were aliens. Here he says, you were, in verse 21, alienated. You were made strangers and enemies to God. In other words, you were his creatures, but you were not his people. You were cut off from his fellowship, even though he is omnipresent and none can ever escape his presence, yet you were cut off from his fellowship. Worse than that, you were positively his enemies, living in active, willful, wretched, constant hostility to God, living in open and willful rebellion against God, defying his will, fighting against his rule, seeking to overthrow his purpose. He says, formerly, we took the field against our Creator and our benefactor. This is where we once stood. Now, this is the common state of sinners. You see, there are people, and perhaps some here this morning, and you'd have to take out the formerly here. Every Christian can say, formerly, once upon a time, but no longer. Formerly I was alienated from God. I was a stranger to God. I was an enemy of God. But what about those people? And this is still their state. Still strangers, still aliens, still enemies. It's difficult for us to see people in this light. We tend to judge after the flesh. We look at people as they appear. We are taken by their face or their physique. We are taken by how they dress, how they sound. We are impressed by their education, by their brains, by their talent. We are impressed by their skill. They may kick a ball better than somebody else or throw a ball better than somebody else. And we talk about all these wonderful things that men can do. And I'm not saying that these are not impressive things about people. But I'm saying we can be so wrapped up in looking at men from the outward aspect that we forget that that person with all the talent and that person with all those wondrous good looks and that person with that brilliant intellect are living in wicked, constant rebellion against God until they get to Christ. That they use all that God has given them, the body with all its strength, the brain with all its virility, the intelligence, the ability to write, to speak, to communicate, to influence people, the talents, the skills with which they make an impression on people, they employ them all as enemies of God in a constant warfare against Christ and his kingdom, in a perpetual attempt to establish a rule other than Christ, to draw not only their own souls, but to draw others away from God and away from his Christ. What a way to live. You're either for Christ or you're against him. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either his friend or his enemy. You're either laboring in and for his kingdom or you're laboring outside and against his kingdom. An enemy of God, alienated in your mind
by wicked works. Make sure today that you're not taking the very benefits and blessings with which God has crowned your being and using them as instruments of sin and weapons of rebellion against the very God who has created you and blessed you. That was certainly the state of every one of us who see it. We can look back to a time and remember when God convicted us of our sin, brought it home to our conscience. You're an enemy of God. You're a stranger to God. You're a hater of God, and you need to be saved. Thank God for the once, the formerly. We'll come to see the change in that former state in just a minute. And Paul tells us how this alienation and enmity came about and how it's maintained. He says it's in your mind by wicked works. Now that's a very important turn of phrase. The mind, of course, would remind us of the understanding. It is the deliberative faculty of man. It is very closely related to the will. What Paul is saying here is that men by nature, enemies of God, their reason rejects the revelation of God and grace in Christ. It rejects what God has to say about himself. This is where it starts. Sin starts with a rejection of what God says about himself. Men want to create God in their own image. They can live comfortably with a God who's in their own image. They do not want the God who tells them what he is. Then sin proceeds to reject what God says about men. We're not as bad as the Bible paints us. We're not in the dire straits that the Bible describes. So rejecting what the Bible says about God, it proceeds to reject what the Bible says about man. This rebellious spirit in the reason of man rejects then what God says about salvation. Even when it would pay lip service to the beauty of the person of Christ, it yet rejects God's way of salvation in Christ. It will either take from it or add to it or substitute for it. But in one way or another, human reason, in rebellion against God, rejects the divine revelation. And then, of course, the human will chooses accordingly, as it is instructed by the intelligence or the understanding. The will then chooses, and it chooses wrongly. This is what Paul is saying. Your enemies in your mind. Men are what they want to be, and they therefore do what they want to do. And so their depraved will expresses itself by wicked works. Evil works are the natural fruit of a will and a mind set against God. Now this is the state that you and I were in formerly. But this is the whole point of the text. Thank God that's no longer true. Paul has a statement here that is a sort of a hinge for the whole text. But now, it is a little unfortunate that the word is at the bottom line of verse 21, and it's yet now. It's simply, but now. And what Paul is saying here is, having dealt with our past enmity, he now comes to deal with our present amity, or friendship with God. He says, but now he reconciled you. This is what you were, but now he reconciled you. Underline the words, but now. In the scriptures, this phrase always denotes a striking contrast. And in the New Testament particularly, it often sets before us a crisis or a dramatic intervention of grace. Let me give you a couple of examples. Romans 3:21. You remember when we were doing the studies in Romans, I said this was the focal point of the entire argument. Romans 3:19 says all the world had become guilty before God. Romans 3:20 says that we're condemned by the law. There's no justification by the law. But now, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Romans 6:22, but now, what does that refer to? Well, you read the context before it. It says you were slaves of sin, and the end of that sin was death. But now, being made free from sin and become slaves or servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. There's another interesting one in Romans 7, in verse 6. The prior context says that you were under the dominion of the law. Just as a woman is married to a husband and she's married him as long as he lives, so you were under the dominion of the law. You were bound to the law, and that brought forth fruit unto death. Verse 6 of Romans 7, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, or we being dead to that wherein we were held. Ephesians 2:13 gives you another example of how Paul uses this phrase. He has already said in the context that you are aliens from God. You're without Christ. You have no hope. You're without God in the world. That's your state by nature. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I suppose nothing sums it up more clearly than Ephesians 5 verse 8. You were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So this little phrase, but now, is one of Paul's favorites. It is a phrase, as I say, that speaks of a crisis. It speaks very often of this dramatic intervention of divine grace. And it certainly, in the text, speaks of a complete reversal of the prior state. Notice what he says, but now he reconciled you. It's not just a cessation of hostilities here. It's much more than that. He says, now he has reconciled you. You were alienated, but now he reconciled you. You were enemies in your mind by wicked works, but now he reconciled you. In other words, he has instituted a state of the closest possible friendship and fellowship with God. That's what he's saying to God's people.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.